Have you ever looked into the night sky and wondered, are we alone? We've learned so much about the world and our universe, and yet we realize there are so many mysteries yet unsolved. If you are interested in the unexplained and mysterious in our world, then join us in The Night Search, a forum for discussion and exploration of the world just beyond our reach. And now, your host for Night Search, Eddie Middleton.
Welcome to our show here on March the 10th, 2015. And Augie Noss from Tucson is going to be guest co-hosting tonight, and he's going to introduce our illustrious guest, Dr. Louis Turi, here momentarily, and then I'll be back on again in the next 10 minutes. Augie, take it away.
Tonight I have the pleasure of introducing Louis Turi. He is an immigrant to the United States. He was born in France, in Provence, France. At an early age, he started to study the works of and writings of another man born in the same town he grew up in, a man named Michel Nostradamus. Most people would know him as Nostradamus. In 1976, Louis Turi also received the highest distinction Music Award Cup and graduated from the Royal School of Music in London. Since he moved to the United States in 1984, he has established himself as an accomplished and sought-after author, lecturer, and astrologer with some amazing, accurately predicted events that we will talk about here in a little bit. He is also a very sought-after guest on radio and TV around the United States and in Europe, and both on Coast to Coast with George Norrie and BBC Television. He speaks on the cosmic forces and celestial tools of the Creator. He practiced the same type of astrology as Michel Nostradamus was practicing. And with that, I give you Louis Turi. Welcome to the show, Louis.
Well, thank you very much for having me, my friend. That was a kind of a very interesting introduction. Very professional. Very well done. Thank you.
Well, thank you, thank you. Well, you're the star tonight, and I tell you, you have so much to talk about. I don't even know where to start. Where would you start?
Well,
I talked to Dr. Turi earlier, and he said he would start and tell us about his alien encounters with the humanoid aliens in a restaurant once in France. That would be a good way to start.
Oh, I would love to hear that.
All right. But first of all, realize that UFO experiences are mostly personal, and people have the right to be skeptical because, you know, to dwell with and attract the extraordinary, you have yourself to be vibrating at that speed. In other words, if you're an atheist, in no way, million years, would you ever get close to anything that would be as incredible and even credible as my UFO's experiences. So we understand the process of the law of attraction here. I need to mention that. Right.
Yeah.
I've been dealing with extraterrestrial since the age, I'd say, 7 years old. So it's not something new. But in reference to that particular experience, I call it experience number three. It did happen when I was about 25, 24. You know, I'm 65, so I kind of lose it a little bit with mathematics and numbers. I was young, put it this way. And I was on one of my trips back from London where I was studying to play piano. And I arrived at home this Sunday, you know, just after 12 or something like that. And then everybody was there, start to kiss and hug everybody. I was very happy. But my little sister, Noelle, was not there. So I asked my mom. Well, she said, well, she's got to go to work. She works, a few miles away from here, so she's taking the bus to make, you know, and she makes sure she gets to work on Monday. So I didn't see my sister. I was a bit upset. And then maybe 20 minutes later, here she goes. Hey, Louis, how are you? So we were so, you know, close. We are very close. knowing that I have an Italian-French background, we're very family-oriented, Latino. So she explained to me that she missed the bus. And of course, you know, as I teach my students, there is no accident whatsoever. Things, anything and everything happens for very specific reasons. So my mother said, well, don't you worry about it. You know, Louise is going to take a car and she's going to take you there. Now, you have to remember during those days, cell phone didn't exist. So GPS didn't exist. And I could never really look at any map whatsoever. So I was usually, when I was going anywhere, I was looking at the sign and then stopped now and then and asked for directions. So there we go. We took off early afternoon. Now let's get the story short. Now it's about 3 or 4 in the morning. It's freezing cold. My sister's already gone to sleep in the car for many, many miles. I was desperate, desperate for a cup of coffee to stay awake because the road was icy. And, you know, south of France roads are very tortuous, you know, up and down and ice. A couple of times I lost control of the car. But finally, I saw some light at the bottom of the valet. So I stopped. I stopped there. And to my surprise, in the middle of the night, I mean, this is not America where you have McDonald's 24 hours operation here. This is in the middle of the south of France in the mountain, lost in the middle of the night. So this restaurant was there. I parked the car, and it was nobody. In fact, I parked the car right from the entrance. I wake my sister up, and I said, hey, Noel, you know, we're going to have a cup of coffee, and then I'm going to ask for directions, so we shouldn't be too far from where you work. My sister, during those days, she was a trainee nurse, and she was working in a hospital with people who had, you know, respiratory problems. That's what I recall, in high in the mountain. And so I will never forget when I said to her, sit there by the door, and I asked her what she wanted to drink. She says to me she wanted a Coca-Cola. I mean, it was freezing cold, and she wanted a Coke. Whatever. So there's things that stick in your mind, women. Anyway, so I actually went straight to the bar, and that's where it all started. As I was at the bar, and as soon as I entered the bar, I saw three gentlemen, MIB, if you understand what that means. Men in black. They were so tall. In fact, my nose was at the belt of one of those guys. So they were at the bar, looking straight ahead, and they were like robots. They didn't say a word to me. Their face was motionless, and I was looking at them with the corner of my eyes and hoping that they had a good intention. I had no idea who they were. Immediately, I thought, these guys must be loggers. They have to be working in a mountain to be so damn big. But at the same time, the way they were dressed didn't make sense. So anyway, I asked for the barman for a Coca-Cola, which I grabbed and brought to my sister, which was already back for sleeping. She was so tired, poor thing. We drove all day and all night. And then I went back to the bar, and I asked the barman, can I have, please, a cup of coffee? So the guy gave me a cup of coffee, and I was about to pay him and go back to my sister. Then one of the guys, remember there were three of them, okay? I was on the right side of the third guy, okay? And he looked down at me, and he goes, do you want to play cards?
Okay.
In my mind, I thought, playing cards? I said, no, I don't want to play cards. I mean, I just want to get some direction, and I don't know how to play cards anyway. And he looked at me and he says, Louis, you are going to be friends with cards for the rest of your life. Well, first of all, I freaked out because, you know, I never told him my name. And then to this day, of course, I play cards every day, but they are tarot cards, so he was right. To this day, I cannot play poker. I cannot play 21. I cannot play no card but my tarot card, which each end is a winner, literally. So what I'm trying to tell you here is he get a normal set of cards and he present them to me, okay, upside down. And as soon as I pull a card and look at it, as soon as my eyes saw the symbol of the card, he was telling me what it was. So he did this like a couple of times, and I didn't know how to tell him that, you know, I had enough, so to speak. Then he goes, you know, pick another card, like he was trying to challenge me. So I pick another card, and I saw the Nine of Diamonds. And for as long as I live, I will never, ever forget that, those words. And I thought, I didn't say it out, I thought, I am going to change the Nine of Diamonds for the Queen of Spades. He looked at me, and again he said, Louis, you are not going to change the Nine of Diamonds for the Queen of Spades. And all of a sudden, at that very precise moment, I felt like if someone was sticking a screwdriver from my right temple and ending up to the left side of my brain. I was hauled into the bar because I thought I was going to pass out. And I asked the barman, where is the bathroom? And the guy goes, just right here. And he points out about 10 feet away, the door was open. In fact, it was dark in there. And I managed to get to the bathroom. I turned the hot tap, the freezing water. I put that frozen water on my face. And I felt like if I was chained mentally, it's like my head was attached to this guy. And I was talking to him in my head. I said, you know what? I don't know who the hell you guys are. I don't know who the hell you came from. But you are going to freaking, being polite, tell me what the hell is going on. And it, I must have stayed 5 seconds top because I was so disturbed and I wanted to know what the hell was going on. I felt so invaded. So I went right back into the bar. And those three gentlemen were gone. My sister, immediately, I look at my little sister. She was still asleep. In fact, she was asleep all along. And then I asked the barman, I said, Jesus Christ, man, who are those guys trying to keep my balance at the same time? And he says, well, they must have came with you here. I says, no. There was no car when I arrived here. I know my car is right there in the front of the door. And how come this place is open in the middle of the night? And then the guy says, well, you know what, they must have gone outside. So I went outside, I look left, I look right, I listened very carefully. There was nothing but the silence of the night. I wake my sister up and I said, let's get the hell out of here, sis. And she said, what's going on? I said, just let's go. I don't even recall paying the guy, to be honest with you. I took the car and I started driving. Now listen to this, and I got better thing than to make up stories like this and look like a jerk. This is true. What I remember is I'm driving back home the next day, it's about 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm driving through my little village back home. I don't recall taking my sister nowhere. I don't recall what happened as soon as I passed the door from that restaurant. And I had a headache that lasted for weeks that I would never, ever wish on my worst enemy. Now, you're talking about one of the most incredible, solid, direct connection with the men in black, with extraterrestrial from another world. What did they do to me? What did they do with my head? Well, as I said, that experience number three. And then it came all very clear once I went through experience number four in August 11, 1991, above the city of Los Angeles. So that is my story, number three.
Wow.
I tell you
well,
what.
Well, we know. Yeah, we know
day.
The. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Now that we know the Men in Black have some extra interesting capabilities,
and they do read minds. There's many, many people that has talked about that. And the size of them kind of fit many other people's description. So I think, yeah, that must have been what you met.
I saw them again on my last experience, my last vivid, solid experience again. If I may, I can go into that one.
Yeah.
Shall I? Okay, well, that one is probably the most incredible experience any human being can go through, because I was left with a legacy. I was left with something that is totally inarguable. Cosmic legacy that is left is just simply irreproachable, inarguable, and repetitive through my predictions, of course, which I'm going to give you a little test later on. As we proceed into the show, I'll give you some dates for earthquakes above 6.0 coming up. And so far, I have had every one of them dead on. So that will give your audience the opportunity to actually check my claims and realize that Dr. Chiri is not lying. Dr. Chiri is saying the truth. Okay,
yeah.
So during those days, that was in 1991, in 1991, yes, because in 1995 I had my first show with Art Bell, where I predicted the religious war in America, which is happening right now with ISIS, and that was well before Osama bin Laden and ISIS made the news, and that show is on YouTube, so you can listen to Art Bell and me. At the same time, I was also predicting that Clinton was going to be reelected during those days. It's all on YouTube, so it's inarguable. It's dated, it's printed, it's well documented. So that...
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, my wife, Bridget, I'm not married to her anymore, and for good reasons. She divorced me because she didn't want to go through this again. And it's understandable. But I always told her, I said, you know what, honey, I have been dealing with these things, and maybe one day you will be going through that, exactly like I said to my wonderful wife, Tarania, right now. And she also went through those, which I cannot say just yet. But let's go back in time. She was very pretty. She was young and very attractive, young woman. And she had... she wanted to be part of a model, a pageant modeling thing. So she set it all up, and the pageant was taking place in near Anaheim. We were supposed to exit the Catella to get to Anaheim and then to get to the hotel where the pageant was. So I suggested her to go to bed early so she could have a beautiful sleep. And then we went to bed early that night. And then again, in the middle of the night, she woke up. She starts to go totally insane. After a few years of marriage with her, I never seen her so unstable. I thought, my gosh, she's getting a panic attack. She's getting schizophrenic. What's going on with my wife? Never, ever have I seen Bridget behaving this way. So she made me look under the bed. She made me look in every cupboard in the house. She was on the floor in a fetus position and crying and shaking and said, my God, what happened to you? She says, I don't know. So anyway, talk about a sleepless night. So the next day I told her, it's no point of going to your beauty pageant because, you know, you look like hell. You don't like that too much, but, you know, that's me. I'm very honest and direct. And then she goes, well, you know what? Grandma lives next door, so let's go there anyway. So anyway, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, okay? I fill up my car tank, and we left. We took Highway 5, and we drove north. And it was about 9 o'clock in the morning when we left. So, no, 8 o'clock, excuse me. Yeah, 8 o'clock in the morning when we left. Pageant was around 10 or something like that, 10:30, so I wanted to have enough time to get there, you know, for her to do the paperwork and everything else. So I was driving on High Five, and very, very gently I approached her. I said, what happened to you last night? I tried to understand what the hell was going on with her head. And she says, well, I don't want to talk about it. I just don't know. I just got very, very scared. Talk about psychic premonition. Anyway, and then she turned the radio on because she didn't want to hear about it anyway. So we drove a little while, and then all of a sudden I felt like if I was driving into a cloud. I looked around me. It's like if it was cloudy. So I thought, oh, well, it must be, from the ocean. There's nothing special there. But what was a bit special is that I didn't feel the wheel on the road anymore. And the tire were making no more noise. I said, whoa, what's going on here? And the last thing I recall at that point was going through a Jamboree Bridge of Jamboree Roads. I don't know if you're familiar going to L.A. from High Five, but you have to go through Jamboree. So that's the last thing I remember. It sticks in my head. Jamboree, we're driving through that bridge. Next thing I know, I am at 35 miles per hour, and my wife is asking me, what the hell? Pick up your speed. What are you doing? I said, I don't know. In fact, I was in the middle of the highway where they have those center line where you drove on it and it wakes you up, those little bumps. And then I was just, being reminded to wake up, so to speak. Then I said to Bridget, man, I have no idea where I am. I know, where are we? And she says, well, I don't know. Keep going. I haven't seen the sign of Los Angeles yet. I haven't seen the sign of Disneyland. Keep going. You pick up your speed. During those days, it was 55 speed limit. Anyways, I told her, look, I've got to get out of the highway. I have to know where the hell I am. So I took the first exit, and I drove to a parking lot. And again, you can't forget those moments because they're encrusted in your brain forever. It's so dramatic. And I drove to a white Toyota. It was a white truck. And in the back of this truck, there was three Mexican guys. They were kind of eating their sandwiches. So I parked the car next to them, and I went out. I said to Bridget, wait. And I went back to these guys, and asked them. I said, excuse me, where are we? The guys look at me like they look at each other like this guy must be doing some pot. He must be drunk that early in the morning. And he goes, well, you are at the Los Angeles Zoo. I says, what? He says, yes, you are at the Los Angeles Zoo. You're after L.A. You're at the Los Angeles Zoo exit. I said,
wow.
And
wow.
I said, okay. I said, and what time is it, please? He says, well, it's about 9 o'clock. Oh, my God. So I went back into the car, and I said to Bridget, I said, honey, do you remember I told you that one day maybe we have to go through these UFO things? She said, tell me who the hell I am. I said, well, we are up after Los Angeles, and we are at the zoo. And then she goes, well, next time you go through L.A. and I don't see it, you let me know. She was so confused. She was looking in the glove compartment at the map of the United States because we used to do a lot of traveling. We had no GPS. We had no cell phone during those days. So we only had big, huge maps. And she was looking at the map to where we were. She was so confused. I said, honey, it's 9 o'clock in the morning and we are after L.A. We just drove, 15 minutes since we left the house. So basically, unless I have a Ferrari, I'm driving at 150 miles per hour, and there is no cops, and there is no traffic in L.A., I would be able to do that. Now, listen, it took nearly 2 hours just to go back to Catella exit to Anaheim, so to speak. When we arrived there, I mean, I was next door to my house. My wife didn't want to go back home. She says, no way, in a million years, I'm going back to the house. She called a friend, and she disappeared to Phoenix, Arizona. She drove with a friend all as far as she could from San Diego, because we had a good friend in here, in Phoenix, where I'm residing right now. And basically, she never came back.
Wow.
What happened is I was not into UFOs. In fact, I was just returning from Hawaii, Pearl Harbor. I was working on the base in Pearl Harbor. I'm a mechanical engineer. I'm a welding engineer. And I also operate heavy equipment and cranes. So I was working on San Diego base, and from there, they certified me to work on Pearl Harbor, Hawaii base. We just came back from Hawaii, and when this happened, so I was absolutely not into what I am doing today. So I called a guy. I don't know how it happened. I met somebody who knew somebody that was into this stuff, so we gave the guys a call, and he came in my house, and I still have the audio tape of that day where he actually interviewed my wife and I. I have the original tape of what happened that day on that. Then he says, look, I know a couple of top-of-the-line hypnotherapists, doctors in Victorville. I'm going to set up a meeting with those two doctors, and we're going to have it taped. We're going to have television there. So I said, okay. So we went to Victorville. They put all the camera. They put me on the bed, whatever it is, and both doctors, they got to me, and they hypnotized me, literally. And I was so much into hypnotizing that I decided to learn the trade, and I became myself an hypnotherapist a few years later, because I really wanted to understand more about what happened to me. Maybe I could retrieve something by auto-suggesting myself or hypnotizing my own self. So to tell you the depth of the experience that led me to become an hypnotherapist, it's the reason that pushes people to do what they do. So I remember the guy said, look, when the session was finished, couldn't record anything, he says, look at the first frame and look an hour and a half later at the last frame. Not even my eyes had moved, not even an arm. So I was really, really under. The only thing is when I start to complain about getting hot, you could see literally water pouring out of me. And guess what? I have the video still of those days. I preciously saved it. What happened to me is, as I explained when I was regressed, we were sucked into the belly of a flying saucer. My wife was all crazy. She knew. She said, I knew something was going to happen. She was conscious, and I could see her crying because I was led outside of the car by those three guys, the three type guy, but I could see them pretty much the same face, tall and blonde, the same type of guy. They look very similar. Came and got me, and I said to my wife, just wait for me. Been there, done that, it's fine, you're not going to get hurt, you'll be just fine. And then they took me into a little place. It's kind of a small place, and there was a window there, and this is where I went to look outside, and I saw the earth the size of a football. That tells you how far we were up there. And and then it was like a decontamination room, and I started to sweat, get hot, and this is where you see me on the table, literally dripping of water, complaining that I'm hot in the decontamination room. I don't know what the hell they did that to me then there. And then I enter the flying saucer, and I saw the grays, the dignified robots, the workers, operating the flying saucer, doing all this stuff on the electronics. And then you had the humanoids, the tall blondes, the men in black, whatever you want to call them. They were there kind of watching, like supervising the activity inside of the salsa. And then I knew exactly where to go, and I walked straight to a big, huge TV set. That's where I saw my wife. She was laying down on the glass table, and they were taking the fetus. She was pregnant. They were taking our baby. But I didn't feel like I was supposed to be upset or scared, or it's like I had an agreement, so to speak. So, and then I knew it was time for me to go somewhere else. So I entered a room, and I sat on a chair, a small little room, and then from the ceiling, something came down. It's like a helmet. It came down all the way down to to below my eyes, so I couldn't see anything, and I had my hand on like a shear, and then I felt like electricity going through me. I felt like I was made of steel, glass, air, water, fire. I cannot explain exactly. I'm trying to use, give you, for the lack of words, whatever word comes to my mind, this kind of recall the incredible experience that what happened to me. It's like the entire atomic structure of myself has been rejuvenated. And then, if you look at the picture of me then and now, I'm not the same guy. Everything has changed. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So,
sounds like you had a... Sounds like
this
you had a phenomenal experience of missing time.
Yeah, well, big time. and then it felt like if I imploded, and that's where they downloaded the cosmic code jurisdiction, so to speak. Then they dropped me back on the highway at 30 miles per hour, and that's where we wake up after L.A. And after that, I couldn't help myself to draw all sorts of symbols in my entire house. My walls, my ceiling, my doors were loaded with symbols of UFOs, and I couldn't help myself to dig into Nostradamus' work. I couldn't stop studying and learning everything about the subconscious, about astrology, about UFO. I started to do that, so to speak. And then next thing I know, I'm invited by Art Bell to do a show that made my first prediction of the religious war, that I said America will be going through a religious war. And if you listen to the show with Art Bell, he's quite upset and even shocked when I told him that America was going to go through a religious war with the Middle East. That was in 1995 when I made the prediction, well before what's going on today. In fact, I'd like you to pick up a pen, and even your audience to pick up a pen, because I'm going to give you a few dates, okay? I'm going to give you the 17th. I'm going to give you only two dates. I'm going to give you the 17th of March, which is a week from now, and I'm going to give you the 29th, okay? The 17th and the 29th, 48 hours centering the 17 and the 29, expect earthquakes above 6.0 that could easily translate into a tsunami. Now, I give you one date, but in Asia, they are already the 11, if you understand what I'm saying. Because of the longitude and latitude, I usually give three dates. I give the 16th, the 17th, and the 18th, so I cover the entire world. But I'm giving you the 17th as the main focus of energy, and the 29th, the main focus of energy, where you're going to have what you call a sudden release of energy, shocking news, maybe airplane crashing, anything that dwells with the sudden release of energy, earthquakes and tornado, volcano, the cosmos will make the news. Sun's ray, NASA will make the news. So this is to tell you that I have this great, great, I call it a gift, but it's also a curse, because I face and people who cannot enter the archetypal realm of consciousness, who don't believe in UFOs, never studied anything mystical because they are designed by the cosmic code to be rational in the first place. These people cannot deal with me, so to speak. But
it's not for everybody.
No, exactly. But you know what? Some people say, well, you're given the time, but where? I said, you know what? Why don't you ask USGS or NASA this question? They use billions of dollars. Okay, by the time the little instrument is moving, you already have an earthquake or a tsunami is coming at 400 miles per hour to you. At least so far, I have been accurate, dead on, and repetitively. So I do better than USGS, better than NASA, and geologists all combined together. I am not saying this on an egocentric point of view, because I am offering you now the day and the proof so that you can check my claim and realize where Dr. Turi actually is right. He knows better than all these educated kids who don't have any spiritual values, who do not understand the soul of the cosmos. And that is my curse. This is the legacy that the extraterrestrials have left me. And worse, in this city here in Phoenix, the biggest UFO event taking place, these people never, ever invited me. They don't even know me. That's terrible. There is definitely a conspiracy against me. But that's the price you have to pay. You know, when you have a special connection with UFO and extraterrestrial, it makes people envious, it makes people jealous, it makes people insecure, and they don't want you to know better or to have a better idea of what UFO is all about. All these great speakers, they have a lot of great things to teach to all these people, but many of them never seen a UFO and certainly do not have any cosmic legacy like Dr. Turi. So I have things to say, and these people are right here in Phoenix. I won't say the name. I'll just totally despicable. These people will not give me a chance to talk and to warn people, to educate the public on the cosmic code and the reality of extraterrestrial. Somebody has solid proof of ETs is Dr. Turi, but that's how it works. You know that.
Well, it's been like that throughout history, you know, so that really nothing has changed.
No, nothing has changed. But, you know, if people, instead of letting their fears and skepticism override their curiosity, if they were willing to investigate my work, like I gave those dates, make a note on the calendar, and wait, and when it does happen, because it always does. I mean, my last show I did another show on different places. I did exactly the same thing, and you can hear me giving very specific date of earthquake above 6.0 where they all transpired. This doesn't mean that the scientific community will say, okay, maybe Dr. Turi has something that we can learn from. No way. They would not deal with me because, in their minds, astrology is pseudoscience. Astrology is a waste of time. And it's understandable because all they know about astrology is what Mrs. Coyle does or the horoscope newspaper. They do not know that I use the same software that NASA used to sign the shuttle, that I plot all the stars above. The software that I design is... It's inarguable, and it can be used in many, many possible ways. It could be used by anybody. You know, I say to my student, there are no accidents. There is only cosmic circumstances at work. I don't know if you heard the news today, but if you go on CNN, you can look, a cop has killed a man which was naked and he had no gun. And then a few hours later, a marshal was killed when he was making an arrest. Okay? Well, this does not happen every day. It's not every day that you have a crazy cop that kill an innocent law-abiding U.S. citizen, and it's not every day that you have a marshal that either kill his wife or get killed responding to a call. The cosmic biorhythm that are above our heads is very real. Not every day is the same. There will be days where everything you touch will turn gold. And there will be other days where the only thing you're going to have is bad calls, bad letters, bad connection, bad everything.
Yeah.
And that's called cosmic biorhythm.
And I know the cosmic energies has a lot more influence on people than what we should think. On top of that, I think about a day and a half ago, we had full moon.
Well, and as you know, during the full moon, you know, all the emergency services are going crazy, and that's why subconsciously people say you're a lunatic, you're moody, you're crabby, you're responding to the power of the moon. Now, the moon is able to lift billions of tons of water with a dual tide every single day. Twice a day she moves those water, and that affects the planetary plates. And that's why I'm able to give a very specific date for earthquakes, because it's, even though they happen not only during the new and full moon period, if they had cosmic consciousness and work with me instead of alienating me and thinking I'm just a lunatic, then we should be able to not only giving an exact time, like I always do, because that is a given. I'll give you the time. You have those dates I just gave you. But also the location. See, I don't have access to the sophisticated electronic equipment the taxpayer paid NASA, okay? And so far, it's been, since forever, USGS and NASA has never, ever gave you a very specific date for an earthquake. They would never dare, ever dare to tell you on that day you might have an earthquake. They would take no chance because they don't know. Dr. Cherry does, and I do it regularly. It's on TV, it's on radio, it's on my newsletter, it's in your show now, and you're going to see when those days comes out, you're going to realize, well, he was right, because I would be there to refresh your memory, like I'm always doing.
Now, even if the government did know, they would know where they would tell people anyway because of the liability of it. And if one person got hurt and they did not evacuate everybody out, you know, they have a mess on their hands. So they're just going to let people perish instead of giving them a warning.
Well, it is a sort of science because, in their mind, it is a sort of science because they never study the subject. And those who are rebuffing astrology, or astroforensic, or astropsychology, whatever I design, I practice and invent it, okay, these people are the least knowledgeable of the universal mechanics. Now, you have people like Tesla, you have people like Einstein, who understand there is an inner force regulating the universe. They call it dark matter. They know they could not put their hand on it, but I did. And that people don't want to hear it. When it's just, I think it's a natural subhuman reflex to deny or try to hurt somebody who is better, who knows better than you. I call it an insecurity or a superiority complex. And sad enough, it's part of what it means to be human, a young soul. Now, I'm loaded with very old soul on my Cosmic Code VIP website, where I guide people when I teach the Cosmic Code secret. Those souls are, you know, they're advanced. They are older people. They understand that the ego has to be put aside. They understand that without curiosity, there is no way of greatness or understanding. So my work is not designed for the Joe Sixpack and Sally Sue's out there, but for people who have very intelligent. And we come down to the explanation of what makes us so different. I teach my student, you can only relate to someone because of your education, your experiences, your intelligence, and most of all, your UCI. Now, UCI stands for Unique Celestial Identity. Okay? You cannot teach a child to sing and dance like Michael Jackson. You cannot teach a child to play piano like Mozart or Beethoven. You cannot teach a child to become a genius. In fact, there is no schools that produce geniuses. You're born with gifts, or those gifts are stimulated by incredible experiences that breed incredible people that have incredible wisdom to share. And that's where animosity, inferiority complex kicks in. And people can only love me or hate me, trust me. I have a lot of people who love the hell out of me, and a lot of people really would like to see me dead. But that's how it works, as you understand.
Yeah.
May I ask you the month you were born? I'm going to give you a little idea. I won't go into details, okay? Because
February 28.
Well, I was born February 26. So you vibrate. You vibrate at the same cosmic speed as I do. That's why our.
There are times it feels that way.
Well, yeah. This is why your unique celestial identity and mine are very compatible. That's why you're on the radio. Spend my life on the radio. That's why you talk, investigate UFOs. That's why I talk and investigate UFOs and talk about UFOs. So you're my celestial brother. Both of us were born in the same constellation. And that makes an affinity between our dialogues. Now, understand that. Teachers nowadays, they get a bunch of kids together, born in a different part of the year, and they expect, the U.S. educational system is expecting a teacher, which is not cosmic conscious, to educate a bunch of kids. Now, let me tell you something. If any of those kids has a negative aspect to the ninth house of higher learning, or the third house of critical thinking, in a million years there'd be no way for that teacher to pass on any information whatsoever to the student.
Yeah.
It's just a natural incompatibility. You know, you're related to your mom and your dad, brothers and sisters, genetically 150%. But in the world of the spirit or the spiritual DNA or the UCI, you are a stranger. You will never speak, talk, create, behave, or lead the same fate than any of your family member, unless he has some of the same stars like we have. You follow me?
Yeah.
So if I could, through astral psychology, educate those children and their parents in the process, there would be no more Adam Lanza. There would be no more criminals. There would be no more bullies. There would be no more atheists. There would be no more racist, because a child is susceptible to gather cosmic information just before puberty, during puberty, and after puberty. And this is what ISIS is using and what Hitler used to do with the children of Hitler being taught at a very early age to go and kill, and turn them into a killing machine. You got to reach. You need to reach those children when you are able to mold the UCI, neutralize the vices, and stimulate the virtues and the gifts. You know, a child has to digest 2,000 years of human evolution in a few years. And as I said, you know, to George Norrie, it's very important to teach children mathematics, algebra, history, language, communication, the arts. But who is there to teach those children who the hell they are? The first regeneration principle is knowing the part of the universe that makes you who you are and agreeing with it, knowing from the depth of your soul that's exactly who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the grounding you need. You need the spiritual regeneration. Now, we're not talking about religion, because you have 875 different freaking religions to choose from, and every one of them has only create more death and wars than all disease and natural disaster combined together. So religion is not the answer. You follow me again?
Oh, it's never been.
Okay. Now, religion is not the answer, and becoming a theist, and the atheist movement is so dangerous, because it's going to create a society of intellectual that will be deprived of spirituality, sensitivity. You're creating the next Reich, the next Hitler generation.
Yeah.
Because you're teaching a child to detach itself from the spirit. And when you detach yourself from the spirit, you detach yourself from creativity. What does an atheist has to offer? Logic? Science? Rationale? That's beautiful. That's wonderful. But why don't they use that to investigate God, cosmic divinity, the cosmic code, spiritual purpose as designed by God. But as soon as she said the word God, they ran off. Well, I would run off too, because the God that humanity has been trained to fear, okay, is not that. That's why I understand our faith, because it's not, it's a false God, but a God that speaks through the sign, a cosmic God that speaks His will through the universe, knowing that you are a child of the universe, you knowing that you are made of the particle of the cosmos. It's just common sense to realize that there is a reason for you to be part of this humongous spiritual phenomenon that is regulated by the cosmic code. And that's what I teach.
Yep.
But again, if you are a young soul and you're not curious and your UCI is much too dry, in other words, you're born too critical, too rational, or you're born atheist, there's no way I'm going to be able to make you understand the intuitional domain of my work, because you're meant to build bridges. You're meant to become an engineer. You're meant to build the physical aspect of the human experience. But the same very people need musicians. They need people to create movies, people that can lead their soul, feed their soul. It's important for any human to get a spiritual grounding that they
yeah.
feel comfortable with. And that's why you have 875 different religions out there to choose from. And none of them is going to give you what the children really need. Because at the end, you produce a lunatic like ISIS who wants to kill everybody for their epiphany. So that's a sad reality, you know. So
yeah.
when I'm looking at the work that Taranya, my beautiful wife, and I are doing, we are so ahead of time. That if we are missing in our mission, you know, to free humanity from fear and ignorance and reinstate God's cosmic divinity, you know, this world doesn't have 50 years to live before we experience total self-destruction. I can see that very clear, but I have hopes. I do have hopes because. Even though that I only have 8,000 people on my cosmic code, those are the people that have paid me to learn from me. We're still a force to recognize, and our thoughts are going in the same direction. Another thing which is very, very important that I teach my students is that to never forget, the future is nothing else than a reincarnation of the thought. So if you constantly feed evil with fear, you misuse the superconscious in time and space, then you're feeding the devil of total destruction and alienation of the human race. But, you know, you cannot have a positive without a negative, up and down, black and white, front to back, God, devil, yin and yang. You can reverse the process and turn the thinking, the thought process in a productive manner by making people aware of the superconscious in time and space and realize that they are not doomed. We are not doomed. Anyone that is giving up, okay, is actually food for the devil that is aiming to destroy humanity. And people have to be able to recognize that force and then as a whole, change the current. Now, you're talking about getting a compass now and force the compass to point south instead of north. Does that make sense?
Dr. Terry, this is Justin here. I was going to let you know we have about 6 minutes left in the show. If you have any last words you want to give to the audience beforehand, and also your contact information, anything you want to relate to the audience as well.
Well, basically, anything that anybody wants to know, gay, for example, Google gay and put Dr. Terry. Earthquake, Dr. Terry. Prediction, Dr. Terry. Solve the cosmos, Dr. Terry. Cosmic code, Dr. Terry. Anything you want to know. I wrote thousands and thousands of newsletters for the children of the future to start to build that awareness. And then that's how they can get to me. And I am, again, offering your audience the opportunity to join the Cosmic Code, let's say for $25 instead of $100 for 1 full year, but they have to mention your name or the name of the show, and then Taranya will comp them. So I'm offering that deal to get more people to work with us in our mission.
Dr. Turi, it's Eddie Middleton. You had asked for my birth date information. Could you maybe say something about my astrology profile?
I can do that. But to do that, let me have a look. Taranya gave me a couple shots, so I need to make sure I have the right one. Okay, so you were born February 7, correct?
Correct, 1944.
I got you. Well, you know, any time, A.G., for example, was born on the cusp, like me. He was born February 28, I was born February 26, but you were born February 7. Now, this confirms the cosmic energy that we all are Aquariuses. Aquarius symbol is a man with a jar in the water. The purpose of an Aquarius is to get into the cosmic code, to translate the universal hieroglyph, and then put it in the jar. And the water pouring out of the jar is us, Aquarius, or those born in February, to feed the world with cosmic wisdom. And we have an attraction to flying, an attraction to technology, to television, to UFOs. We are very special. In your case, I can tell you that you like to eat and you like to cook, but you don't want to eat when you're upset to save your stomach. Okay?
Okay.
And let me see what I detect. Is there any history or heart problem in your family or not?
Yes.
All right. So you don't want to nurture, as I said earlier, do not nurture fear on your heart, because your thought can alter the atomic structure of your body. Okay? So even though that you had a family member who have afflicted by heart disease, do not endorse it. Do not expect it. Do not think about it. Just exercise. Eat decent food, and then there is no reason for you to suffer any problem there. Are you afraid of flying, or do you like flying?
I'm rather fearful of it, actually.
You what?
Fearful of it.
So you're fearful of flying?
I don't like to fly, no.
And do you know why?
No. I'm afraid the plane will crash.
No. In your past life, you were in Japan, and you were a pilot, and you crashed. In your past.
Oh.
It's on your tail of the dragon. You have the tail of the dragon on your first house. You also have past life in Germany and in Japan. And each time you were involved with war and you were involved with flying. And that's why you're afraid of flying. At the subconscious level, I can depict that. Make sense again?
Oh. Yeah, well, that makes sense, yes.
Yeah, it's pretty deep. Well, but you also have connection with extraterrestrial at a subconscious level. Do you have any allergies or not?
Any other fears?
Allergies.
Allergies, not that I know of, but I may have. I just haven't been detected, you know.
All right. You never broke an arm or a finger?
No.
Okay, good. All right. So this is how I check the strengths of your dragon. So, you know, you're supposed to live a long life. Do you like classical music? It's a question.
Yes, very much so. Uh-huh.
There you go. All right. So, yeah, that confirm your dragon. So in 4 years from now, right now, the tail of the dragon is affecting your mind. So you want to take it easy. You want to be positive. You can regenerate with metaphysics, with traveling, with the spirit like we're doing now. And then the tail of the dragon is moving in your finances in October. So you have a restructure of your finances taking place, and also affecting the 8th house, which is everything to do with metaphysics and the spirit has to be reevaluated. And then, 4 years from now, and that's where I'm worried for the world, the tail of the dragon is going to become an Aquarius, and Aquarius rules nukes, rules anything to do with a sudden release of energy. In fact, the date that I gave, 15, 16, and 17, and 28, 29, and 30, those dates in March, we're going to experience a little bit of this dragon, sudden release of energy.
10-4.
So be prepared, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Well, you're surely welcome,
Louis,
guys, to have me on your show, and God bless you, and have a good night.
And Louis, one more thing. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. You said that we had an affinity or an interest in flying. That was pretty dead on, because I flew for a living for 23 years.
Well, yeah, there's, you know, astropsychology and astroforensic is deadly accurate. And I wish the FBI, when they visit me, they can visit me twice because of my prediction. I wish they could understand my work and use it to anticipate terrorism and the scientific community to anticipate earthquakes or natural disaster. But, hey, at least I'm on your show, and more people are listening to your show, and your confirmation and my work is moving forward into this age of Aquarius, a new realization of the divine. It's wonderful.
Sounds great.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Thank you so much for being on tonight. One of our most interesting guests ever.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I have a lot of people that follow me, so make sure to send me the link of that show, so we're going to get some hits for you guys, okay?
Thank you. Thank you again, and you have a great night.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Thank
guys.
You very much.
Bye-bye.
For being on.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.